Blog Talk Radio.
All right, we in. So let me see. I'm trying to see who's been here the longest. Let me hear this chat thing here. Launch chat here. Who's been here the longest? Let's see how this will work. Okay, this person pressed one. Error code 914. You on the show?
Hey Phil, how you doing?
I'm good. What's going on, bro?
So, anyway, I just want to say your entire stream was wonderful, man. Definitely, see, I never understood that forgiveness thing either. Like, why would you forgive evil? I never understood that. Like, if somebody does wrong to your family, they kill your family, they hurt your family, why would you forgive that evil? I never understood that.
I don't understand it either. Give me a second, though, bro. Hey, everybody, you can hear the caller fine. Is he loud or is he, do I need to be louder? Let me know what we got going on here. I don't know some people got a lot of Christianity in them. And nothing wrong with Christianity at all. Please don't think I'm saying something wrong with Christianity. I'm not. Because, like I said, I believe in the word and the scriptures and everything. But I believe in the true word. And the true word, you got to stand against evil. You're commanded to stand against evil. These people took the scriptures, twisted it, and then that's all they do is evil. You can't be killing people and subjugating people like that. So I don't know why anybody wants to be like that. That's just wrong.
Especially to forgive that evil. Like, if somebody, like, kills your family, like especially when I saw that story when the people were running up those Confederate flags and harassing and completely tormenting the child and their family, like, to want to go over there and say they forgive them, that is, like, that's your family there. Like, they're torturing your family. The kids are probably scared. I don't know. The kids, they're probably, like, horrified. And you want to stand up there and forgive them. That's not right.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that. But you know what, man? Like I said, thanks for calling. I'll move on to the next caller.
Thanks, Phil. Have a nice rest of your night.
All right, bro. Let's see. Let's go to the next call here. Let's see here. Sister Victoria, are you on the line yet? Erico 901, you on the show?
Hello?
Yes, you on the show.
Oh, hey, Phil. I was the one who did post the number in the chat. Because someone did ask me, and I actually knew the person, so I did post that number on the chat.
What number are you talking about? What are you talking about?
The radio number.
Okay, I got it on the screen. What's going on?
Okay, well, I agree completely what the young man has said about forgiveness. In my opinion, I think forgiveness has to be earned. Whether that person decides out of the kindness of his or her heart to come forward and come clean about their mistakes before they come at me expecting, like, oh, well, you have to forgive me because that's obviously what your God tells you. I'm a Christian, and I did talk, and I remember talking to one of my friends about this because she was trying to tell me, like, well, you should just forgive, like, some of the stuff that Trump has said. I said, well, here's the thing. Unless if he's coming up forward with a sincere heart, I can care the fuck less. Because basically, here's the thing. You can come to just about every black church in the whole entire country. He can come to every single one of them. And you still know he will not change. Because there are too many people out there who are like that. And to expect me to say, well, I forgive you, if that person did not say sorry to me or did not even show a tinge of, hey, I actually feel regretful for what I did, then I'm not going to really talk to you. I'm not even going to give you basically any time to think about, oh, I should do this to this person, because everybody has a chance to do something. If they made a wrong move, they have time to make the right move before that opportunity is closed. And people think that, well, you have to automatically say that. No, you're teaching me how to, well, I have to say I forgive you to you because that's something that you have to get from me. No, you have to work for it.
Yeah, I definitely hear you. Yeah, you know, you can't be just forgiving people and they didn't even ask for it. That's what's going on. A lot of these black folks are getting on my nerves. So, you know, I definitely hear you, man, but I definitely appreciate you for calling the show.
You're welcome. Have a great night.
All right, you too. Sister Victoria, what I told you in the email, if you look on the screen where it says host call in with that number on your phone, or you can click that Skype icon on that screen, and it will open up your Skype, and then that's actually the easier way to get in is go through that Skype icon if you got Skype on your device. And then I will see your number pop up where it says host. That's when I know you're on, because if you're not on there, I won't see it as host. But we'll go ahead and go to the next call here. Erica 404, you on the show?
Hey, what's going on about the show?
Oh, what's going on?
Let me see. I think my take on this whole forgiveness thing is that
okay.
I think throughout the history as African Americans, I think we were real little too comfortable within Christianity, because the same people, like you just said in the beginning of the show, and they gave us that Bible. And of course, it was put in with a lot of false information in there to just justify them, you know, enslaving us.
Yeah, they definitely, you know, twisted the scripture. But you know, like I said, they couldn't even have the Bible at one point in time. Then when they gave them the Bible, they took out the book of Exodus out of that Bible.
Yeah.
So now why would they take that one book out? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So these people have been just devils from the beginning.
Yeah, that's why we weren't allowed to read back then. But that was like the only thing that they gave us to read, as they depicted in Birth of a Nation with Nat Turner.
Yeah.
He was given something.
They didn't like that movie at all.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we need to support it.
And it was sabotage.
But you know what? They can sabotage whatever they want. I think every black person should go buy that movie to support. I bought the movie because I wanted to support, you know, and we need to support with our dollars. It goes back to, you know, what we said earlier. You don't need any validation for anything, but I appreciate you for calling, man. All right. Sister Victoria, are you figured it out yet? I'm going to go to the next caller. Erico 704, you on the show?
How you doing, Phil?
I'm fine.
How you doing? All right. Yeah. I think it's ridiculous how we as black people are always forgiving white people so quickly. But when it comes down to it, they constantly blame us for everything. And they're the ones who brought us into the country. And I think it was like kind of incredible.
Brother, I don't know if you can speak into that phone a little bit better or what, because I'm not hearing you too well.
All right, hold on. I got you.
Can you hear me better?
Yes, sir.
All right, my bad. But I was saying, I think it's like this condition that we have to forgive white people so quickly as derived from slavery times until now. And I think the Bible is just something that leads us down that path, too. In this present moment, is something that was force fed to us, and in the way that they gave it to us was for us to just forgive them, and for them to be our masters, and that's where we still are mentally right now.
Okay, what's this response?
Yeah.
Well, what do you think we need to do to change that?
What I really think we need to do to change that is, we need to do better with educating our own youth and not just letting the public schooling system handle that. We need to make sure that our youth is more educated, because really it's harder to inflict upon an older person's mind than it is a younger person's mind. And we make sure that the next generation knows I'm hearing myself right now, but how to handle black people as a whole will be better off.
Okay. All right, man. Yeah. What's up with that? Appreciate you there for letting us know that. Thanks for your call.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man. Erico 678, you on the show.
Hey, what's going on, Phil?
What's going on?
Yeah, okay. So I was in the chat, right? And I saw that somebody said something that it takes a big person to forgive. Now, according to history and according to the propaganda that was fished out about black people, okay, we were considered big, dark, and threatened. So when someone says something like it takes a big person to forgive, it does. In most instances, it doesn't take a white person to forgive because they were never looked at as being big. You know what I'm saying? They were always seen as small and less threatened and whatnot. But black people, we were considered to be big and threatened and dark. So it does make sense in the eyes of the white supremacists that we must always forgive them. But once we understand and realize that we no longer have to feed into what they want us to do or how we should act and how we should speak, how we should carry ourselves and whatnot. And if we can find some type of self-respect for ourselves and realize that we do not have to forgive these people and that it is a righteous thing to not to forgive the people that are against us and that are oppressing us and that are trying to hold us back to this present day, then I think we'll be in a better space. So, no, we don't have to be big to forgive. You know, we can be we can just be who we are and not forgive and keep it moving. And that's all I got to say. Thanks, Phil. Have a good night.
All right. Thank you. All right, Sister Victoria, let me go down and find your number here. Hold on. Let me see. Okay. All right. I'm going to put your name down up here. You'll see your name pop up here. Now, all you have to do is those numbers that have, if they press 1, or make sure you press 1 if you want to talk. If you're looking on the screen right now, you have the microphone. You have one that says mute there. You have one that says screen. If you go to screen on with the two little person icon with that screen, you can talk to that person and then ask them their name and, you know, what they want to talk about. And if they're trolling or whatever, kick them off. That's kind of how we'll do that. Let's check the chat room real quick. How my comment section was wrong with black people? I don't even know who's all in the comment section. People hide behind screens. It's like so funny. My comment section was wrong with black people. Anyway, Erico 661, you on the show.
Oh, hey, Phil. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I just want to come in and chime in on the topic.
Yes, ma'am. What's on your mind? Forgiveness, white validation, or love?
Wow. Like, I can really have a lot to say about that because, you know, I see it, like everywhere. You know, it's just black people always seeking, not all of us, but it's just some of us that want to have that validation towards white people. They feel like if they can get the same awards and the same, you know, treatment that white people do, then they feel like they made it. You know what I mean? And I'm just not that type of person to follow the crowd. You know, it's just be your own person and be proud of who you are. And to be honest with you, white people will tell you straight up they don't like you. You know, you don't need to seek their love and validation. You got to love yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
And how can we love ourselves when we're worrying about what other folks got going on and their opinions? See, sister, this is my thing. When you learn about I don't want to even hear your opinion because your opinion is not valid to my situation. I think we would get a whole lot further. I always got their mouth running about our situation. We don't be getting involved with their stuff. We really don't.
We really don't. They be over at our spot, you know, talking and trolling. But they have websites talking about us all day, all night, 24/7. We don't be over there trolling them.
Exactly. We don't. Because what would I look like creating a whole website and I'm just like all day long, just hatred of them. Let me tell you something. If they would just leave us the hell alone, then I would stop talking about it. Trust me, I would. If they say, you know, y'all do y'all thing, we do our thing, and that's it, and fine. We talk about things in the community. We talk about a whole lot of things we can talk about. But it's like when you want to talk about other things, you are brought right back to this.
Exactly. You're true about
you know?
That. Yeah, that's true. And the only way we can be able to love ourselves is we just, I don't know. It's not an overnight thing, but we need to just deprogram ourselves and develop self-love and get to know ourselves as humans, you know, as Black people, you know? It's going to take a long time, but once you get the hang of it, you know, it'll get better. And you'll start to, you know, see the beauty and you would seek validation towards your own more. If you do that.
Hold on a second, sis. This one comment say that would never happen. Well, you're right. It would never happen as long as you have it in your head. It never happened. Like, that's why some people life don't get far because what you think. Right. Who is that? Whatever you think, that's exactly where you go. Okay. Who is that at 617? Okay. No, Sister Victoria, you got to hit the green side screen. Not the microphone. But anyway, yeah, Sister Victoria is helping us moderate, and I appreciate her doing that because I said that we need to bring someone in to help us moderate the calls because we used to have so many problems with calls. That's why I, like, quit doing calls, like, over a year. And then the people kept asking to bring calls back, and that's what happened. But, Sister, I definitely thank you for calling. Appreciate your time.
All right. I'm going to keep listening.
All right. Hey, Sister Victoria, once you find out who they are, could you put their name on the screen underneath their number? All you got to do is click underneath that number, and in the box will come up. You can type the person's name or so, and then I'll see it, and that way I know you kind of screened them. Just let you know. All right. So we'll go to the next one here. Eric Cole, 617, you on the show.
Hey,
can you hear me? I can hear you now.
Okay, great. Yeah, so I'm non-religious, but I do, I feel like forgiveness is something that comes in, there are two parts to it. One is being able to, so the victim typically, they like to forgive to kind of get over the situation and to move on with their lives. But I agree with you wholeheartedly that they don't have to publicize this, and because it has the white supremacists get the impression that, you know, they... It just comes off really, really bad when they do this publicly. The intention I think is to show them that they aren't the thugs that they make them out to be, that they're humane, but it actually turns out to be a bad thing. One other thing I wanted to point out is there was a video that you had posted regarding the white supremacists that were driving around in trucks with flags and terrorizing that family. There's actually one detail that you left out I thought that was really important. That female, the reason why she got time was because she took part in loading the gun up, loading the shotgun with bullets and passed it to the guy. I think that's one part that the media didn't mention. They made it sound like it was just like a, you know, they were shouting racist slurs and that was that. but the fact that they were pointing loaded guns towards the family played a big part in why they got such a big sentence. And one other thing I wanted to ask you.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask you that you talk about all this stuff, talk about it quite a bit, and there are points I agree with, and a majority of points I agree with, some I don't disagree with. But regardless, I think that you have a decent following, and I was wondering if you ever considered starting an organization to kind of rally people around your ideas and get some movement politically or just grassroots just movement to push these ideas.
The only kind of group I probably would be for dads dealing with the issues of family law court and child support and stuff like that, because I think that's very important. If you don't have family, you don't have nothing. And I think too many men are railroaded by this evil and corrupt system. So if anything, I'll probably definitely want to get involved with that. As to politics, like I say, the way I talk on these YouTube videos, they'll scandalize it. They'll say, oh, he called them devils, and because I don't have the right skin color. Now, Donald Trump will say grab him by the kitty and everything else he want to say, but, he's the right, color for that. So I don't know, man. Like I said, they'll probably kill me if I got politics anyway, because I'm not going to hold my tongue with nobody. So it is
To be honest with you, if Milo can get a stage at the university, I think that you can get a stage at the university. So,
well, like I said, I can go into why that happened too. But anyway, man, I definitely appreciate you calling, man.
Well, thank you. Goodbye.
All righty. Erico 586, you're on the show. Erico 586. All right, we got to move. Erico 228, you on the show?
Yes, hello.
Yeah, you on.
Hello? Yeah, how you doing,
sir?
Phil?
Shoot, I'm
okay.
Black man in America.
Yeah, hey, man, I know how that goes. But, hey, man, I just wanted to chime in on what you was talking about today with regard to, with blacks forgiving whites so much. I think it has a deep history. I mean, I'm only 22, so I'm speaking from the knowledge that I was given at this early age. But, I mean, whenever you think about it, I'm from the Deep South. I'm from Mississippi. And my great-grandmother, she was actually the help for wealthy off-white people. And I feel like that a lot of blacks still have that mentality of that they have to be on eggshells with white people and that they have to still have to get validation from the white man in order to be successful or looked as an equal counterpart. And I feel like that we need to have that mentality out of our system, because at the end of the day, just like what you said on one of your shows, I think it was a couple of days ago, is that we so quick to forgive these white folks doing all this crazy stuff to us, but, we'll kill another black man with the quickness and have no remorse. And I just feel like that is just something that's been going on for a while, because it's kind of been embedded in us. As you know, we can go back way back into the slave days, because they had to live on eggshells. And I also I don't want to get off topic, but I also want to get into another subject just for a quick side note, is that a lot of white people, they have a lot of self-hatred for themselves, because they know that the black man is the original creator. I mean, if you look back into Southern Italy, the Sicilians, they have black DNA within their blood, and a lot of them deny that. I mean, I read this, from books that I have in my house, and it's proven fact that, men of color actually went to Sicily and actually you know, slept with the women or whatever, and they had a population there. And, you know, a lot of Italians, they want to deny that. But I just wanted to chime in real quick, brother. I greatly appreciate what you do, man. I really feel like that you're one of the reasonable voices that still have that old school flair that we really need in this generation of these days and times, man. Because I feel like you can connect with these young folks as myself, but you can connect with the older folks too, because you're just not out here spewing reckless nonsense, man. I greatly appreciate you, brother. Just keep up the good work.
All right, well, thank you, brother. Appreciate you. Sister Victoria, anyone with the X's on there, the ones I'm either talking to or the ones I've already called, just letting you know that. You know, he brought up something about old school. Like I said, for me, I try to channel a lot of that old school that I was raised around, like especially like my father, grandfather. It just certain things I believe that worked. I saw what worked. I saw what don't work. And what I see today is just not working. At all, the way we're raising our kids, the way we're doing things. And, you know, I was raised that you just don't hold back. You cut no punches with nobody. You tell it how it is, and let's fix the issues and problems. And you don't take a lot of patience with people that's not trying to fix their problems. Because what's going on in our community right now and some of the issues, I'm trying to get into here. You know, because once you get into here, and at least if you don't agree with me, you get angry with me. That's fine. But at least you're angry with me because I got you to think and I'm messing with your upbringing because I'm fighting your upbringing. That's where the fight's going to come from. A lot of you have been raised, like the brother said, to do what you're doing, to go along and get along, not say nothing, you know, all this other stuff, trying to... Try inviting guests as co-host so I can see. You get what I'm saying? Hello. Let me see something here. No, Sister Victoria, let me see here how that would work. I don't even know. Let me see. To connect via guest studio. Now, let's say something about a guest studio, Sister Victoria. We'll have to sit down and do a mock show to see how that works because the way this is going it won't let you because I know me and Ms. Gabriella used to do it. We used to do it through Skype. Now if you got a Skype, I probably can add you to that line. I don't know. Let's go ahead and go to the next caller. If anything, just check the comments on YouTube and see if real quick and see if you can clean anything up over there. Erico 781, you on the show.
Hey Phil, it's how you doing, Phil?
I am blessed. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. The thing with slavery, we're just still in that slave mentality. That's what I believe. With us always forgiven, you know, like the master is always right, even when he's wrong, and we're always wrong, even if we're right. And black people, they just can't get out of that mentality. We're living in a system that basically belittles us, and we sort of like take that. I mean, we're born into communities that's just gonna lead us into a system that a slave system, which is the jailhouse, the prisons, and I mean it was never fair for us in the first place, and like I think I forget who said it a couple calls before, but they're right. They have a hatred towards us because we are like the original people, the first man and woman. They have that hatred towards us just because. Well, I don't even know why they hate us. I mean, they just have hate in their hearts. I mean, a Bible. We can't fight them with the Bible. I mean, I believe in God, but the Bible isn't enough to get them to change their ways because, you know, the Bible really just, it makes us seem weaker too because someone come riding up to your child's birthday party in trucks and shotguns, just imagine if the new Black Panthers party did that. I'm willing to bet the police would have been shooting at those trucks.
Well, of course.
That's what I believe.
Like I said, the judge was like, I don't know why the police didn't even arrest him because a lot of the police agree with them. That's why.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. I mean, we just have to – we have to slap ourselves in the face. We need to stop trying to look good in front of them, you know, because they do not care about us. We have to start caring for ourselves. Like I said before, we're living in a system that teaches us to hate each other and love the white man. We love the white man more than we love our brothers and sisters, and we should be ashamed of ourselves for that. And that needs to change.
Yeah,
and I mean that's what good people like you are on. That's why we need more people like you to expose that, tell people that, because we need to shake ourselves into reality, and get ourselves united so we can stand strong. Because they're only dividing us with their system, sending our young men to prison. Families are growing up without men in the house, without discipline, without control, and our kids are they're going to jail at a younger age. I'm only 22, and I know my mother won't like me putting like personal business out, but my sister, who's 18, has already been in jail because there's like not that kind of discipline in the household. We need to make sure, because the white people don't care about us. We got to care for ourselves. Look at the thing with Flint. I mean, they're drinking dirty water, and the reason, like you said, is because it's a poor area. They don't have money, so I mean, human lives are not all equal in their minds. That's if you got no money, you're nobody to them. That's basically what I had to say.
All right, man. Well, I thank you for calling. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Let me tell y'all something happened the other day. Sunday. I received an email Sunday from I don't know who this account was, I don't know. And they told me, hey, do you remember the story about the white female at the Old Dominion University that did the kill all, you know, N-word video, pointing guns and all this other stuff, right? So the dude was like, hey, I know the person. So I was like, okay, well, what's going on with that? And they say, hey, you know, I got information, I got videos, I got pictures, I got all this stuff about this chick, you know, but I'm just trying to see, you know, if I can get some sort of, you know, compensation for it. So I'm like, I'm not TMZ, I don't pay for stuff like that, then what profit would it be for us to do that? I don't know if you have information or what. So the guy emailed me and said, well, look, the sweater that she was wearing is in my car. So I said, okay. So then he ended up sending a picture of the sweater itself. And then he ended up sending a video that he was actually, or he got the video of her doing the, you know, little thing, holding the gun and stuff like that. But of course the music wasn't in there. So he had asked me, you know, well, how much you pay for it? I'm like, no, I'm not going to pay for that sort of thing. I mean, like I said, I'm not no million-dollar outlet where I just pay for stuff. And then, like I said, let's say we did have that, my thing is, okay, we need to start signing agreements and all this other stuff because, you know, you can't be shopping it nowhere else if we do that. So it's just beside the point. But then the guy came back, told me that, you know, well, he gonna decide to give me all the information anyway. You know, he'll email me about it. And I'm like, okay. So if for some reason he do that, then we'll show it. But if not, well, it is what it is. But turn her in. Is the situation reversed once she? Oh yeah. She'll be in jail for sure. One person, how do we get information on our history, the issues that disenfranchise us, solutions with Powernomics, blueprints of black power, and we still behave as though we have no way out or no plan? The information is at your fingertips. Every last one of you probably have a smartphone, but a lot of people don't use it for the good that it can be. Let's go ahead and go to the, let's see, the next caller here. Erico 656, you're on the show.
Hi, hello.
What's going on?
Hello?
Yes, you understand?
Hi, my name is Matthew, and, wait, could you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right, I just wanted to say, that, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm a religious Christian, believer, and, I just wanted to say, like, you know, white people, they're not considerate for black people. And I grown up in a white people house, like with white people. I've been in a foster home since I was 6 years old, and my stepmother, or my foster mother and foster dad, they like I had a brother, and he was black, and like they didn't really treat him right. They just treated all the whites, like all of us, like in proper respect. And and I just want to say, because like I know like all you guys are saying like how like white people have no respect for black people, but I've considered myself like equal, like to everyone. And I just wanted to let everyone know sorry about the way I'm talking. I just like threw up right now. I'm so very sick, and I just had sex right now and then sucked my dick.
Now that's what they call it to do. And that number, what was that number that just called? Is it still here? You heard him? This is the mentality of these people. Like, he's not embarrassing me doing that. He was sat there on that line for a while to do that. And instead of going to shows that he liked, this is what he chose to do. That one thing, I didn't look at that. He's only proving my point. They have a sick obsession with black people. And see, when you do stuff like that, I was listening to his voice while I had a frown on my face. I never understand these. They say these people are beyond me. They are beyond me. And it's kind of like you want to get the pimp hand with them real quick. Say, oh, you sound like this? They're like, do we have to start acting like that? That's what we have to do? Well, see, that's what Sister Victoria is trying to do, but we're going to have to work some things out. And that's some of the reason why we kind of start fooling with calls, but that's fine. I mean, you start saying stuff like that, we'll get you off. It's no big deal. But like I said, it really just proving my point. That's all. Well, let's go to the next caller. Erico 402, you on the show?
What's up with it, Phil, man?
Man, you hear these obsessive devils? Man, you already know, man. That's why I say these people some devils, man. They is really beneath this, man, for real.
But anyways, though, man, let's talk about the forgiving part, man. You know what? I just sit back with my wife
and just laugh at it. Hold on, man. I was laughing with you saying right now. Hold on. Yeah, go ahead. That's why I was saying, man, these people ain't worth a drop of piss. Man, for real, man. That's why, man, I sit back and, you know, watch your shows, man.
And, like, I just really just sit back and look at it, like, just shake my head, like, wow, these people is really sick in their head. What is going on?
Yeah, he sat there on the line doing all this talk about like he's nervous.
Yeah,
he's going to say all that at the end, like, okay, if that's what you choose to say, I'm like, really? I'm like, you only proving my point that you just an obsessive devil.
That's it. But, yeah, but anyways, though, you know, I want to stay on topic real quick, but, yeah, I just had to laugh
ahead.
At that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, man.
But anyways. yeah, you know, so I just sit back, you know, like, I don't know, man, black people, man, like, man, I mean, their mentality, man, like, how could you really sit there and forgive people that's really just stabbing in your back, spit on you, kick on you? I mean, just do whatever they want to do to you, and you still turn around, sit there, and say you'll forgive them. Oh man, black people, man, they really need to get out of their mentality, man. They really, I mean, black people, we need to really get our mind right, you know, and know who we really are as a people, because we are great people, you know, and you know, and our biggest enemy is the, you know, is the white people, you know what I'm saying? They've been our enemy for years, and, you know, and black people is still asleep. But, you know, now I think we just really need to just wake up, you know what I'm saying, and get out of that forgiveness, because the white people is not going to forgive us now or in the future. So, you know.
It's nothing to forgive us for. We ain't doing nothing.
Right. We don't even do nothing to them. As history says, you know, I mean, we're great people, man, and they just cannot stand that. You know, and that's how the way I look at it, man. You know.
Yeah, I'll read one quote in here. They say you got to bring up MLK quotes on why we should forgive. Like I say, but they never quote Dr. King the last 2 years before he died. They never quoted
right.
that. And they're like, y'all, they're like, they killed him. We didn't.
Right.
They quoting him and they killed him.
Man, for real though, man, black people, man, we just really need to get it together, man. Get our minds right. And you know what, Phil? You know, I really feel like that, you know, we need to get back to the Bible too, man, to know who we really are as a people, man. And I feel like that our mindset will really, you know, be on this Bible and doing the work too at the same time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I definitely hear you.
Whoever
teaching that Bible got to teach it right, and whoever teaching teaching it right, they would definitely get out there and do something about this system, because they know this system is complete evil and heresy against God.
Right, you know, and you know, I just feel like, you know, we just like us as black people, we need to get out that mind frame, man, because I know our minds is stronger than that, man. We just, you know, we just in this little BS system right now, which I know that we can, you know what I mean, get out of, you know what I'm saying, if we can just, you know, really get our minds right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, I hear you.
That's all I wanted to say though, Phil, man.
All right, brother. I appreciate you calling.
All right, man. You have a good night.
All right, you too, brother. Yeah, boy, if we wouldn't get in trouble on YouTube, we'd definitely be Mariah Carey obsessed right about now. Like I said, these people are obsessed. Y'all don't realize, like, it's not easy being a black YouTuber. Let me tell you about that. I had a conversation with someone at YouTube, I think about a week ago, and I was telling them, you know, some of the things that go on the platform, but it's one thing to be a YouTube person and making YouTube videos, which every person deals with the trolling and XYZ. Any person do that. But when you become a black one, then that's when the racism aspect comes into that. Like, you don't see all these other people that's making videos dealing with the racism that black people are dealing with. You know, the constant, like I said, they sit on your phone lines, they leave threats, they do all this stuff and make videos about you, and then you got, you know, Sambos and Coons making videos. And it's like, dude, you know, it's like, I don't understand people that do that, because I got too much time on my own platform to do things. How I got time to worry about other people? Like, I don't, can't stand these, you know, hateful, racist devils. Can't stand them. But I'm not going to go to their pages. I'm definitely not going to make videos about them unless it's something in the news. I'm not going to go to Stormfront Radio and sit on the line on a call-in show and just hoping to get on Stormfront Radio. Why would I do that? Even if I sat there for 2 hours, why would I do that? Stupid. Let me go ahead and go to another call here. I was reading some comments right here. Erico 207, you're on the show.
Good evening, Phil.
Yes.
Great to talk with you. There's a lot more follow here. I was on your last broadcast with the thugs. It was, man, that last caller, man. Oh, well, the last caller before that, man. I don't know, man. The ignorance is real. But, here we go.
Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, from Bronx, New York. So, Two things. One, about that need for white approval.
Yes.
So I guess one of the angles that could come from is the problem we have within the black community that's very domestic. We know of the thug culture that's very celebrated, unfortunately. And when some people are, not conscious, but just aware that that's not just right, that's just not them, they know they shouldn't perpetuate that behavior, they sort of alienate themselves from the group, and they judge the whole group because, you know, we do live in a society which is reinforced by media, reinforced by the system to go anti-black. So when you have, a domestic issue with foreign reinforcement, it kind of pushes you to, go the other way, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it kind of creates a coon mentality. Now, at the end of the day, it's a choice. I mean, you can't just say, oh, because of all that, you're going to become a coon. I mean, no. I mean, unless you're cooning to help your brothers out, like sort of like an agent for us,
No, I got to stop you. You don't coon.
Yeah, do you disagree?
You be a doggone man.
Oh, okay.
To me, a coon is a coward. Because you're cowarding and bending your knee and kissing the feet of the white man because you feel that you can't compete with him or you're not better than him. So you're going to sit up there and be his lap dog. That's what you're going
to do. Yeah, yeah. So, I'm saying, like, because, at multiple times we always, as black people, try to rise up and they kind of send in one of theirs to infiltrate us. We can't infiltrate them. You feel like we should just be a man and just, front and center. That's it.
I don't want to be around you enough to infiltrate you.
Okay.
Like, for me, I'm the type of person, I have the attitude like this. I trust no man but God. So any person I meet, I'm always wondering about what they got going on. Why they want to talk to me for? Well, what's the angle? I'm always trying to figure it out about people. I'm like that. And
that protects me
from a lot of people. So,
exactly. Right. Exactly. Because I agree with you on that. I was just saying because a lot of times it's always some type of way to infiltrate, So I was just speaking on a infiltrating manner.
Okay. You want to talk about infiltration? You need to get a white person to infiltrate them, not a black.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, if you want to do it, they don't send white people to really infiltrate the Panthers and everything else. They send black people for the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, man. I appreciate you having
the
next call.
But the forgiving.
I told him I had to go to the next call. I'm sorry about that. There's other people waiting.
Next call. I appreciate you forgiving. I told him I'd go to this call. Sorry about that.
Turn down your radio. Okay. Well, you don't hear me. Erico 773, you on the show.
Hey, Phil, what's going on? This is your girl, Choma, from Africa. I'm back in the U.S. doing my thing.
All right. Do it then. What you got going on?
All right, I just want to clear up a few topics here. The caller before the caller, the Caucasian, and the caller that just finished his call, the Caucasian, they just had their mother's breast in their mouth a little too long, so we'll excuse their behavior. And secondly, you want to know why all of our brothers and sisters are behaving the way they are, because it started from their mother's mother. They were in church preaching and praying to this white Jesus. So we grow up thinking that we have to praise this white Jesus. But how can you expect your children, not just your male child, but your woman child, to respect you as a black man when you having them to worship a white father? So it does not start from, them getting guns and drugs. It's deeply rooted. So until you break the Willie Lynch syndrome that they are under, we're still going to have these problems. Simple.
I agree. So you think that we should go in our churches and put you know, a more accurate depiction of Jesus, copper skin, woolly hair, in all our churches, and it would change the perception.
Well, you know, I won't even agree with you on that, because back then when Jesus was, well, yeah, he wasn't, no cameras, no pens, no pencils. Where did they get the image from? I believe they were just using their imagination. And here's another point I'd like to make.
No,
hey,
no, sister, I got to stop you. I got to stop you. They were writing during the time of Christ. They were drawing during the time of Christ, sister.
Exactly. They were drawing. They were drawing in the very beautiful paper, the papyrus, and on the walls, right?
Sister, they wrote in all kinds. They had paper back
okay,
then,
they
sister.
Have,
they had all kinds of stuff.
Did they have color? Brother, did they have colored pencils?
Yeah, color pencils. They had paint to paint. They had all kind of things back then. Like,
okay,
I've been
clearly corrected. Thank you for correcting me, because I didn't know that they had those colors to know what color that man was. He said
now,
you are in my image.
When I'm mentioning his color, I'm referring to scripture when I'm mentioning his skin tone. I'm not referring
okay,
to what the white
yeah.
man painted.
Okay, I got you.
The Bible, we'll the book
have...
of Revelation. I'm talking about the book of Revelation.
Okay.
Describes him as having
exactly.
copper skin and woolly hair.
Yes. Yes, it does. Olive skin. Yeah, it does. Okay, so I'm going to be very brief because I'm not going to hold you too long because you got a line of people that want to talk. Another thing I did a little research on, and
yes.
Maybe this should be known knowledge for that white God that they're all worshiping. I looked that letter J up, and that letter J has only been around for 500 years. So I did a little further research and looked up that letter Y, and that letter Y has been around since eternity. Now, they didn't have vowels and consonants back then. They only had pronunciations. So what the brothers and sisters really need to do is do a little more research on that man that they hold so high that they worship that they call JC, and look a little further to find out that true name, and that's where they'll find their answers to all of their questions. It's not in the white man. The white man has no power over us. The white man won't even be here in 2010. They have so many mutations going on in their body now. They did a statistic, and it's not even 15% of old white men alive. So these people are dying off. But what we have to do is take responsibility for ourselves and build our families and stop letting them grow like weeds and treat them like flowers. And then we will come out of our own situation. No one can fix that but us, Phil. No one.
I agree. That's why we have to.
We can't blame one soul, because we're the stronger generation. We're the stronger race. We're the stronger culture, whatever you want to call us. And we've accepted what they've dished us out. But when the war comes and we got to get to that battleground, they will not have a chance against any of the African-American people, because we know we're stronger. Actually, they did a research on that, too, with Drake University, an all-white university. And they said that black people are the stronger race. That's why we excel so well in sports. We may not be the brightest, and that's only because we don't have that in our homes. But we do have quite a few bright African-American people. But I'm not going to get into it too deep, because I could go on for hours about this. I just wanted to throw that out there. I love your show. And, you know, as far as these perpetrators trying to be something that they're not, they've been doing it for years. So don't be offended if they're calling you, because they're not doing anything but giving you more of what you need. It's a media
all
show.
Right,
you need all the attention you can get, okay? So don't
all
let
right,
it bother
sister.
You. Just continue all to right. teach the brothers and sisters what they need to know. That's what God
all
pointed
right.
you out to do.
All right. Well, thank you for calling. But, one thing, like I said, I would disagree with her on. I actually got a video about it. Talking about, let me see if I can even find that video. I can play it for you, and that way I won't even be making it up. Let me see here. Let me check out. Is it this video or is it about the children? Let me see what this is here. Let me point it out here for a minute. Just give me a second. I think it is this video. Well, if it let it play, let's see if I can put it over here, and we can look at this video, Scene two. Huh. I don't know why we have that there. Well, y'all going ham in that chat room. Oh, no, that's something else. Hold on. Pause that for a minute. That was about the Egyptians. You know what? Why don't we look at this video? Did y'all hear that video just right when they actually got started? Let's check that video out. How about that? We'll start back from the beginning. Cause that's something else that they tell you too. It's about the Egyptians. That's another thing that we just saw. They like to say, you know, you'll see the movies, and then you will see, oh, well, they'll have all these white folks playing Egyptians. And that's silly. And you had, like, what was that Richard Spencer guy had told Roland Martin that the ancient Egyptians were white? Like, I thought that was the funniest thing ever. But see, you have to understand, they put these images out there, and a lot of black people will believe that. And when y'all talk about Christianity, Caucasians never created a religion. And actually, if you do the research on who even the true Israelites are, and I'm not a Hebrew Israelite, so don't even go there. The true Israelite is actually a black man and black woman. Look at where the first Israel was at. The first Israel was in the area of Ethiopia. If you know Old Testament scripture, you know the first Israel fell. The Israel that you have now, the European adopted Judaism. They're not the Hebrew. I mean, but that's a whole different story. Now, I don't want to get into all that. But let's go into the, let me see here. Y'all give them too much credit. Really too much credit to anybody about the religion. Erico 310, you on the show? Erico 310, you on the show? All right, you ain't gonna talk out of move. Erico 918, you on the show?
Hey, I was listening to your show. It sounds like a good show, but your title, The White Validation, and I've worked in many different areas. I think if you have a white friend that doesn't realize privilege, or maybe they're not white and they're just privileged, you know, to say something like, you know, my equality should not threaten you. Because that really can wake up a white person, speaking from a white person's perspective.
Okay, hold on. So you're a white person?
Yeah, I'm white.
Okay, well, I don't want to assume who people are. Okay, so...
No, that's cool. I'm fine with that.
Okay, so...
But that did make me think when someone said that, you know, that it was a white person that she said that a minority's equality or them getting their equal rights should not threaten a white person. And I think that's a bold statement. I think that's something a white person
consider. Well, as a white person, why do you think white people are threatened by that?
Because we've had centuries where we've had this privilege. I mean, it's been bred into us. I come from a planter family. You know, just the vernacular, our verbiage, our dialect, our literature, it's all there. And that's a switch in the thinking of the mind, in my opinion. I grew up in an affluent neighborhood. I grew up in oil, and they definitely are elitist. And that's becoming epidemic to become an elitist. It doesn't matter what shade of humanity you are. A person can become elitist once they get the power of the almighty dollar or real estate, you know, whatever it is, political power. Sometimes people will become an elitist where they think they're better than maybe someone's religion, their shade of humanity, you know, maybe they're not part of the 1%, you know, and those people really don't matter in their mind. You know, the world is shifting and changing.
Well, not to cut you off.
Sure.
You told me about privilege, but don't you think it's a little bit deeper than privilege? Because privilege is one thing, but why is it they are threatened by equality? Do you feel they can't compete with black people on an equal playing field?
I think it's been so ingrained in them that they think they're better than other people.
Ma'am. That's not what I'm saying. I'm asking you,
okay,
do you think they cannot compete with black people on an equal playing field?
Can you expand that just a little bit?
Okay, I will say it another. No. Do you think that the white people who fear equality cannot compete on an equal playing field with other people, let's say black people?
I would answer it like this. They would rather keep their boot on the faces of many people so they can continue to ring above. And it's
so
ingrained.
So basically you're saying is, you're not saying it, but you are saying it, they can't compete on an equal playing field, so they have to make sure to cheat, supplant, and do whatever they can to stay ahead. Mm-hmm. Is that basically it?
No, I think they know intellectually that they can compete. See, when it comes to, let's say we have a spiritual question. You cannot answer it with an intellectual answer. And there's that paradigm that it's a horrible paradigm, you know, that where they know that everyone is equal, you know, equal pay for equal work, you know, that we're just different shades of humanity. And I truly mean we're different shades of humanity. In order to be a shade, you have to have black for it to be a shade. Otherwise, it's a hue. And I just think a lot of them are just been elitist for centuries. Problem in my family.
Bam. Elitism has nothing to do with, especially my community. It really don't. And even in the white community, elitism has nothing to do with it. Elitism just confuses the poor white and make them do all their bidding. That's about what it is. And poor whites do it hook, line, and sinker for the rich whites. But in relation to us, why do you have a hard time answering that question? It's like, do you think they can compete with us on an equal
plane? Because I come from a different paradigm. Like my friend, her dad has been CEO of about 4 or 5 major oil companies, Phillips Petroleum included. And when I talk to her, it's very frustrating. It is so frustrating. She wants to be a normal person, but that elitism where she truly thinks she's better than other people, and she doesn't even realize it. She doesn't even realize it. It's difficult to handle.
Ma'am, keep going into. Let me ask another question. Why do you think a lot of white people have an inherent bias toward black people? Well, I'm asking about minorities. I'm not talking about nobody else. I'm talking about black people. Why do we have an inherent bias toward black people?
Because they used to own them. I think if you want me to be brutally honest, I think that's a big problem.
Very brutally honest. So you said since they used to own them, so you feel that the bias white people have is because they used to be the former slave master, that they would really never treat us equal because of that.
Okay. I live in Tulsa, and we had that bad race riot in 1921. To this day, it still affects our community. You know, the yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, that I've seen people be so bold in these different court cases that we've had where black men have been shot down in the street, that they'll say, I'm going to be a little bit graphic, and they'll say, RNs, know their place. They know not to protest. It's really bad statements, and they'll put it on Facebook.
Okay, let me ask you a question. When are they gonna know their place?
When are they gonna what?
Know their place.
Who?
The people you're talking about.
Oh, the white people? I don't know. I mean, it's gonna take a lot of work. And I've done a lot of work on these different court cases, like our former sheriff in Tulsa. I helped get a grand jury investigation into him. And that was not easy. He was the second most powerful man in our state. Was not easy. It's just going to take a lot of hard, dedicated work by many different kinds of people to change these paradigms. And education, I think, is key.
No, I'm going to tell you what's going to change it. What are you going to do to change it?
Well, what I have been doing, working on different cases and trying to expose and talking, and I work with Oklahoma Policy, Together Oklahoma, We the People Oklahoma, and that we don't get any funding, We the People Oklahoma. And we've made a difference. The Eric Harris case that was in Tulsa would never have been in the courtroom had it not been for We the People Oklahoma. I was out on the street with the protests and doing different things, getting signatures for the we had a petition to get that grand jury investigation. There's only six states that allow you to do that.
Well, let me ask you a question about the We the People of Oklahoma. Are you part of the group that's on the header?
I used to be heavily involved. I've had some medical problems, and I lost everything in a fire in January. I still work them. Mark Lewis is a really, really good interview. M-A-R-Q. And then Lewis, and he's doing, he's going around the country telling people and showing people how to be a political activist, how to make change in your personal community, because everybody can do what We the People of Oklahoma did. You just have to organize. I cannot stress how strongly organization is.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking at the website right now. That's why I'm just.
He's fabulous. He does a lot of hot topics every night on his Facebook page, and he's woke. I mean, he's completely woke. And we didn't have anybody that would step up. He was from North Carolina, and we got him to lead the group, he was a really good interviewer and a hard worker, and oh my gosh, such a hard worker. And we had all different types of shades of humanity, if you will. And some of the things that he's done, they were groundbreaking. People are looking to Tulsa now to see how to change a community because it is changing. It's just a lot of hard work.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is y'all working with We the People Oklahoma and y'all working with the criminal system. But in the meantime, to that work, do you think that black people should kind of watch themselves and kind of keep the distance away from these white racists?
Well, I think not reacting to them is key, because they want that reaction. That's what they're going for. And when you give them a reaction, you're feeding the trolls, the racists, you know, whatever label you want to put on them. You know, the
okay,
people that
so
want that reaction. Stay focused on your topic. Stay focused on your passion. And do not let these small things, these small minds, deter you from it.
Well, let me ask you, well, what do you define as like, not to respond to something? I mean, like, I can care less what name they call me, but let's say you had the case of the Confederate flag waving people. You know, we call them devils, that's what they are. And guns at a child's birthday party. Should they ignore that?
No, that should be in a court case, and the law should be applied, and I think they should go to jail. To me, that's a terrorist act.
Okay. So what should we be ignoring then? I'm trying to figure out what do you mean by we should ignore them? Like,
okay.
Give me examples.
On social media, or let's say, like I had people send me messages where they would say, I know where your mother lives, your family isn't happy with what you're doing. So I just called the police and made a report. If it's something like that, then call the police, you know, and do not engage with them. Do not engage, because it can get ugly fast. You know, just be smart. You know, if your child was being faced with that, would you tell them to confront? You know, you just ignore them. A lot of times they'll just go away and try to find another target.
Hold on,
targets.
Ma'am, let me ask a question about what I tell my child. Confront what?
Well, let's say a lot of kids are getting cyberbullied. And
okay.
I'm strictly talking about social media. There's a lot of threats that come through on social media. And some of these idiots don't realize that there's laws. You cannot threaten people, even through social media. There's laws popping up everywhere in different states. So call your police. You know, say, are there any laws? Sometimes they'll have a cyber crime area for your city. And a lot of people don't realize that. You know, find out what your resources are in your city and use them. You know, there's also go ahead, sir. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I was going to say I'm going to have to move on to another caller, but something you said stuck out.
Sure.
I appreciate you that. And thank
you.
Yeah,
contact Mark. He's a great interview.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. The one thing she said that stuck out with me is that they treat us like that because we are the former slaves. That stuck with me. That stuck with me big time. And I appreciate that. I do appreciate that. She just don't know how much I appreciate that and how much that actually helped me a lot, you know, and why we have the problems. Well, you know, I can listen to a person talk, and I can keep my mind listening to other things. See, I some people get distracted with that. I don't. I usually keep my ears on certain things. Oh, well, did y'all hear something about Rachel? I don't know who y'all talking about. Did y'all hear about Rachel Dolezal? They say that now she on food stamps or something like that. Now, let me ask you a question. How would y'all think an interview with me would go with Rachel Dolezal if I could get a hold to her? Well, the person said included herself with the ancestor. Well, you should. I think that's honest to do that. No, she actually changed her name, what I heard, to some African name. Well, see, last year I was trying to get I had my people trying to get a hold to her, and we got a hold to her, not her, but her people, and they were saying, well, you know, she'll do interviews again when her time, her book comes out or whatever the time period. Because I want to know, how did she get to that point, and why did she feel that's okay? You know, I just want to know, because I mean, I've never heard that before. But at the same time, I think, and I said it in my video about her originally, and I still say it now, You can't sit up here and talking about accepting Bruce Jenner being Caitlyn and transsexuals, then but you won't accept this woman. You can't do that. Why is it wrong for her to do that versus the other ones is right? That's the only thing I'm saying. If you want people to be who they are and what they were born, then we need to go on and say it all. We can't pick and choose which one. That was my position from the jump. I think her story, they just never asked her the right questions. I think it was quite interesting because she got an African-American studies degree. She was teaching this, and you know, I know you had two different arguments. One say, well, she was lying. Of course, white folks were mad she was lying. I think the white folks were more hot with her than black folks because I know they were like, oh my God, she actually wanted to be one of them? She actually walked away from all the privilege of being white to be one of them? I mean, that's what they were mindset. They were freaking out. And do you notice white folks is happy? Of course, some black folks, but there's a lot of white folks that's happy that she's struggling and she on food stamps. Like, just celebrating that. I'm like, what the hell she do to you? If anybody should be mad, it should be black folks. What you mad about? Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and go to the next caller. But like I said, that was interesting, that last caller. Erico 656, you're on the show.
Hi, hello, I love you.
What did he say? Now that call was on there for a long time. Like, what did he say? What did he say? I'm still trying to figure that out. Some caller that called, let me see, when y'all do that, if I see it, that 656-502-4782? That number? Why are you trolling? Yeah, you're right, they are moist. How you going to set up on a man's show, call another man just to lead that sort of thing? Y'all need some fathers, man. Erico 678, you on the show.
Yes, sir. This is Chad. How you doing, Mr. Advice Show?
Oh, Lord. Chad, what's going on, man?
Nothing much. I really, you know, I get you're talking about Rachel Dolezal, right?
I was.
Yeah, I mean, I get, you know, from your perspective, I see why it's harsh to go on her. But, I mean, she tried to basically steal an identity, and I don't see it any differently, you know, as Native Americans try to steal. I'm sorry, not Native, as white people try to steal the identity of Native Americans. So it's pretty much the same to me. So, I mean, I don't care either way. But, I mean, you know, if we ever get reparations, you know, she might be trying to get it because she's 2% black. So
if she get a DNA, she's 2%?
Probably.
Oh, I thought you had some sort of a figure on that. So what's on your mind, man? I know it's more than Rachel Dolezal.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to – I just wanted to see because your show said white validation. And it's just getting old at this point, dude. I mean, the Oscars awards and, you know, what's going on. I mean, I don't know why we want to be accepted by these people so much. I mean, my God, it's just so self-defeating, man.
It is. I don't understand it. Me, I just don't understand it, like I said. I don't want to sit there and want to be accepted by a group of people that will sit there on a phone line and troll on black shows. Like, go to Stormfront. You know, I don't want to sit. Like I said, these people are just not the ones I'm looking up to. I'm sorry, they're not. That's all I understand, black people. Some black people are crazy as hell.
And now the black community is doing better now because we won more awards at the Oscars, even though almost every role at the Oscars, it's a stereotypical role. But okay.
Yeah. Something that's anti-family, stereotypical, whatever. That's what they like. You know, they didn't even give Birth of a Nation, not even a nod. And that was actually a good movie.
Yeah, and just a shout out. I know he listens to your show, Mr. Subway. Shout out to him for defending Nate Turner. I'm sorry. Yeah, I think I got his name. Nate Parker. Nate Parker. You know, but yes, that was, I watched that movie. I can't wait till it goes on DVD. But
it is
that
DVD.
Was just,
it's
already
on DVD.
DVD.
Yeah, I just bought it like 2 days ago.
Okay.
They're selling it right there in Walmart.
Okay, I'm about to get it right now then, because there's, I have a 24-hour Walmart. But, you know, it's
hold on,
just
hold
that
on a second,
movie should have.
Hold on a second,
yes, sir.
Chad. Hold on. Ain't a white dude on the phone. I know him. It's a black dude on the phone. It says you were white. You seen that? Say, still there?
Yeah, I'm here, sir.
No, I'm saying they thought you were white. I'm like, he's not white.
Wow, okay. Okay. I'm a black man, people. I'm a black man.
So let me ask you a question. Are you supporting Donald Trump?
Yes.
Uh-oh. He's supporting Donald Trump. Why are you supporting Donald
now
Trump?
Now I'm going to get cursed out and called a coon. I know what's coming. I'm going to brace for impact.
I didn't call your name. I just say why you support
No,
Donald
I'm talking
Trump.
About people who might call in, not you.
They say you must be a rejected black man. Are you a rejected black man?
No, I'm a black man that saw his 10-point plan for black America. I wasn't going to go for Hillary. Gary Johnson was a buffoon. Jill Stein had no chance. And he is delivering with the HBCU executive orders, so that's a good sign. But I'm looking for him to...
Hold on. Stop right there. Let's talk about the executive order. How much money do
those
black colleges make out of the executive order?
$25 billion.
$25 billion in the executive order. Let me double check that, because from what I heard the other day, he was talking about putting a priority on it, but let's see.
Yes, sir.
Okay, what else? What other reason why we looking at this? What other reasons you're supporting Trump?
That pretty much of the 10-point plan and... For Black America, and because I want to give, I'd rather give him a chance than Hillary Clinton, and I know that there's some stuff that needs to talk about, like Little Rock. I'm sorry, I'm confusing things. I'm a little bit tired today. Like the Central Park Five and the housing discrimination, right? But I'm just saying that I'm willing to give him a chance. Because if you research both of their records, at least Trump is actually trying to make amends for that, while Hillary was basically going to sell us on a river. So that's pretty much the reason why I went for Trump and gave him a chance. But if he fails,
yeah,
I'm not going to vote for him in 2020.
Hold on, and you say that you're impressed with Trump right now?
With the executive order?
Well, I didn't see nothing about no $25 billion. I know that they say on annual revenue, they get $5 billion of revenue from the government annually spread out to 101 HBCUs that qualify for federal support. Now, he's creating a separate division because usually it's through the Department of Education where they do certain things. That, so I'm looking for that $25 billion you're talking about. I'm going all through this. I didn't hear nothing about no $25 billion. If like this, if I heard Trump gave him $25 billion, I would have to actually give Trump props on that. I would say, okay, well, Trump did a good thing. If he do something good, I'd say he do good. But I just want to
right.
look and see, you know, what he was talking about. Because I'm looking for that money, and I don't see it, brother.
Okay, well, let me look myself, because I heard something about $25 billion on the website.
I'm reading
yes, sir.
The release. From the Roosevelt Room on WhiteHouse.gov. I don't see nothing about no $25 billion. But I don't know. Like I said, I don't see it. But I don't know. Like for me, I'm just not saying much about Trump, but I'm sure watching what Sessions is doing. Are you impressed with Sessions?
Sessions is, I heard that he actually was talking to Russia, so basically beforehand, so I don't know if he's going to get, if he's committing perjury or if he's going, or if he's going to get out of that, but the weed thing and the prosecuting for weed, you know, that's a little bit too much. Same thing with putting feds in Chicago, you know, but maybe he's just saying it to rile people up with that. But with Jeff Sessions saying about the weed, you know, but the immigration issue, I agree with going against Amnesty.
So you agree with him removing civil rights lawsuits from police departments? You agree with that?
No.
So that's what Sessions just did that. Do you agree with him saying that they need to go back to private prisons?
No.
Okay, so that's two for two. Do you agree with him dropping the case against the state of Texas for the extremely strict voter ID law, where a Republican judge said that voter ID law is extremely discriminatory against Black and Latino voters? Do you agree with that?
He went against the voter ID law, you said?
No. The government, the Department of Justice, was bringing the court, along with other voting rights groups, the state of Texas, because the voter ID law they created was so horrible to disenfranchise people. Well, when Sessions got in there, he withdrew the Department of Justice on that case. And even a Republican judge has, in an appellate court, said that law is extremely discriminatory against Blacks and Hispanics. So do you support that action?
Well, I'm saying he shouldn't have. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Do you support that action of him withdrawing from that case?
I don't support him withdrawing from that case. I think it needs to be looked at. But with the voter ID law, I need to look more into that, because I don't understand how they – like, is it discriminatory because a lot of people don't have the particular IDs? Why are the voter ID laws discriminatory against Black and Hispanics?
Like I said, if a Republican judge is saying it, then – well, this is what they want you to do. They want you to get a separate ID – which they will give you free, but a separate ID for you to go vote. You're an American citizen. You don't need all these different IDs to go vote. Separate from
a separate ID?
Yeah, it's supposed to be like a separate card.
Okay, then that's wrong, and he shouldn't have done that. I thought a voter ID meant just an ID.
Thanks
for telling me that.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So Trump picked Sessions, and you don't agree with Sessions. Do you agree with Bannon?
Bannon?
Yeah. Do you agree with him?
On some things, yes.
You agree with Steve Bannon, a well-known white nationalist?
When it comes to immigration and illegal immigration and vetting people who might come here, and illegal immigration affects low-income or middle-class Black people the most.
Actually, them immigrants ain't affecting you. Them folks is disenfranchising you, creating them laws. That's who's doing it. It ain't the immigrants that's creating laws and vetting people. The immigrants ain't the one that go shoot up your school. Did the immigrant go shoot up the Mother Emanuel Church? See, you notice with them people, everybody's the problem except them. You ain't figured that out, brother? It's in Black people.
I'm talking about the illegal immigration issue that affects some Black communities. I'm not talking about an overall issue. I agree with you that there are white people. You're talking about Dylann Roof, right?
And people like him.
Yes, and people like him, yes.
And they're all over this country, but they're not trying to ban them. Why don't we get executive order banning them? I support Trump on that.
Okay.
That's the only thing I'm doing. Like they didn't get where's their immigration papers to the Native Americans? Well, were they, you know, when they came out the caves over here? Well, they didn't get no immigration papers. Matter of fact, what came over here was the worst of Europe. The best of Europe stayed over there with the Queen and the King.
Mm-hmm.
They sent the worst of the worst over here, and that's why we got what we got. That's history. They let people out of their jail to come over here.
You're right.
I mean, so, I don't know. Like I said, once again, I don't support anything these people try to do to other people. I'm not saying I'm going to be screaming about it, but I don't support it because I know where it comes from. What they're trying to do is trying to keep those brown people out and those Muslims and all these other groups out because of their low birth rate. They're declining. They're dying off. Heroin is killing them off. Crystal meth is killing them off. You know, they
the suicide
like
rate.
Said, suicide rate is killing them off. And I believe the Lord has cursed the womb of they women. I believe that because barrenness is a curse. Call me whatever you want, but why? Why is that happening?
It's freedom of speech, so you can say anything you want. But I'm saying that. I mean, even Francis Quest Welsing already said about the low birth rates. It's been like that for years. But what I'm saying is that the problem of illegal immigration does affect you and me and people who might be on the lower income, and there's actually proof to go by this. So that's what I'm saying, because we are being displaced. We're not only being displaced by city gentrification, we're being displaced by legal immigration as well as gentrification. So we're getting both, and I focus on both.
I don't understand that because you say we're being displaced, but who is stopping us from, like, I've seen what these folks do. Who's stopping us from actually us, black men? I'm talking about black men. We're supposed to be taking care of our families. Who's stopping us from going out and getting jobs? But see, the problem is we don't want to do certain jobs, unfortunately. Some of us don't.
You're right. Certain jobs.
I mean, we got to humble ourselves a little bit if we want a job. I mean, shoot, all of us want a $30, $40 an hour job. Sure, yeah, we all do. But it's not happening like that. And you want to call it what it is while you don't have no jobs is because of the corporate, you know, people who are white that's shipping all the jobs off and all the manufacturing to China.
Shipping all jobs out of seas and using low wage labor. Yes.
Yeah, out of China, Mexico, Vietnam.
Yes.
Look on the back of your shirt. That's where all the jobs are at. But nobody, that's the thing. Nobody want to blame that. They didn't even talk about illegal immigration, right? You're talking about how it affects black people.
Yes.
Why is it that Trump, you're talking about building a wall, but why he won't lock up these white folks that own these companies to say, hey, you hiring and harboring illegal immigrants, so I'm going to put you in jail? Why he won't do that?
He should do
that
but he did say that he's going to put tariffs on companies that try to do that, but he should lock up people who do get use illegal immigration. You're right about that. Yes, sir.
They never mentioned locking these white business owners up. They'll put up a wall. They'll spend billions of dollars on a wall, but they won't put a white man in jail. Y'all need to pay attention to that. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But brother, I'm going to move on, man. It's good to talk to you.
Thank you, sir.
I heard, man.
Good to hear from you, sir.
All right, man. Yeah, I've been knowing that young man for a while. Like I said, I listen to you know, everybody's point of view. Like I said, even if it's a difference of opinion, you know, I can listen to that. I can hear, you know, if a person's a black Republican, I can listen to them and have a conversation with them. As black people, we need to have conversation with each other. We're all talking about unifying and all this other stuff, but it's going to be black people that may not agree on certain things. We need to have conversations, find out if something is an error, is it something that we need to replace some facts with. You know, because unification, you're going to have to unify with all kind of people that don't think like you. Not everybody going to be super pro-black. Not everybody going to be about the cause a certain way. You're going to have to kind of talk with different people to get them online. And this unification that y'all talk about, you're going to have to learn how to accept everybody except those who are truly cooning and sandboying. But you're going to have to talk to each other. And not get angry and upset and just hang up on people. We can't do that with our people. You get what I'm saying? And like, we had that conversation just now, right? Certain things that he didn't realize, right, or didn't pay attention to. That's called having a conversation. And he's a young man, so he got time to over the years to think, like I had time over the years to think and see certain things for what it is. Well, you know, you say jack up the flow. Like I said, for me, the flow is the conversation, and conversation can switch. It's fine. It is what it is. Let me see. We'll go to the next caller here. Erico 656, you're on the show.
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, I'm the one that said I love you, man. Oh, my bad, man. My phone died right when I said that. It wasn't a troll, man. Sorry about that.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's go to the next one. They hang up? Are they on the show? Is someone on the line?
Hello?
Yes, you on the line?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, so to talk about the topic.
Yes.
People tend to see social subjective as the reality because the main thing is social engineering. White people have created a system through racist policies, discrimination, and violence, and place themselves in high positions and education, jobs, owning land, and the government, and such, and kept us as an underclass. So by them being in high positions and owning stuff and owning institutions and being on TV, that in itself subconsciously and consciously, psychologically, makes us believe that they are superior, that they are better than us because they're the teachers, they're the managers, the CEO, they're the actresses, the actors. When we see them in those high positions in society that they socially engineer, you know, through policies and violence, et cetera, that affects us mentally where we think that they're superior. But they're not
so
at all.
You know,
they have.
So you know the answer to that question? Well, this is something I do. Don't watch TV. I'm very selective on what I watch. And I watch things for either entertainment purposes or, you know, I just want to watch maybe some of the news. And I'd rather watch it, even the news on TV because everything's through my phone. But if you learn just to not watch TV or just be very selective on what you watch, that would cut out a lot of their propaganda. And I think as black people, we just need to shut TV off.
Absolutely. And, like, they aren't superior whatsoever. They have to create a society. They have to socially manufacture a society that puts them into high positions, you know, because in reality, they are imperfect. So without all these mechanisms in place to put themselves above us, they would be for what they are, just human, imperfect, you know, imperfect human beings. I'm not going to say that, like, we would outcompete them, but, like, most of them wouldn't be able to compete with us, just like most of us wouldn't be able to compete with them. They would just be, you know, human, you know, imperfect. But they have to create a society that tells them that they are superior. So we black people, we need to understand that we are very special, that like we though, even though they have these mechanisms in place, we still obliterate them in terms of like entertainment, sports, music, culture wise. We invented things that they stole, you know, and created patents and stuff like that. So like,
okay, man.
We need to understand.
Okay, I'll try. I gotta go. I gotta cut you off. Let's see, cause now we on the stretch. So I'm gonna tell everybody that's just one question. Let's get it. I gotta go. Erico 386, you on the show?
And I don't care, woman. I will beat the hell.
Okay, cut that one off. Anyway. These people are so funny, boy. I like that. Erico 727, you on the show?
Hello?
Yes, you on the show?
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to chime in. I was looking up one of Claude Anderson's speeches, and I know if you're familiar with him, but he pushes for black people to have, like, you know, their own economic communities. So I just want to know if you knew about the Blues Town up in Chicago.
Give me about the 30-second version of it real quick.
Yeah. It's basically just a lot of the business people up there, they put their businesses together in Chicago, and they created this place called Blues Town. It's like a four-corner block, and they're growing out as we speak. They put people, you know, playing saxophones and trumpets, stuff like that. So it kind of marks it as a black area. And I guess comparably would be like Chinatown. So it's I just wanted to, you know, put on an alert that that's what it was. So anybody in Chicago looking to do business, you know, look up Bluestown, preferably move your business to Bluestown, and get that place, you know, popping up there. I think other cities should do the same thing.
Okay. All right, man. Well, thank you for calling. We got to go to another call. All right. Let's see here. We got a little bit of time left. We're probably going to go ahead and at least wrap. Let me unplug.